Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. We invite that you chosen to worship here with us and blessing you in this glorious Lord's Day. And we have a word from the Lord this morning, finally, the 46th number of the Psalm, Psalm 46. We're going to begin reading from verse 1, Psalm 46. Verse 1 reads, God is our refuge and strength, and ever-present help and trust. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and fall, and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fail. God will help her at break of day. Nations are rising. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. In verse 10, we're told to be still and know that I am God. And we want to preach from this subject this morning. The Lord is with us. The Lord is with us. It goes without saying that we are living in difficult times. And if the truth be told, we have never seen days like this. And instead of things getting better, it appears that things are getting worse. For these are difficult times. And as I stated, it appears that each new day brings a multitude of trouble. And there's nothing quite as unsettling as a unknown, unseen, contagious virus that the leaders of this country have severely mishandled. These are hard times. And when you see and experience all that's wrong with society, these things have a way of messing with your psychology and mentality. We tried to tell America 4 years ago not to vote the individual who's in the office of president. We told you not to do it, but you did it. And now we're reaping the consequences. But as bad as times may be, we've come with good news this morning. God is our refuge and strength. He's a very present help in the time of trouble. For the sons of Korah, they get credit for writing this psalm, which starts with God. And I need you to understand this morning that no matter how bad things may seem to be in your life, when you start with God, everything will be all right. Now, it doesn't mean that when you start with God, pain and trouble won't come your way. For God is found in verse 1 of the 46th Psalm. by the time you get to verse 2, mountains are falling in the sea. Waters are roaring. Mountains are quaking. Enemies are emerging. And wars are starting. And you have all this other detrimental stuff occurring. So you can start with God, and things can still go bad. But by verse 10, we're told to be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted above the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. For the Lord Jacob is our refuge. You see, God, no matter how bad times may be, he'll prove that he can handle anything that you face in your life. But I just want to point this out to you. It all starts with God. Because life is too big for anybody to try to live it without God. And if these times have taught us anything, it has emphasized the fact that we need God. It always amazes me that people can see how bad things are in their life, but they try to deal with their lives without having a proper relationship with God. We've learned that despite the job you have or the title that you hold, you can't make it without God. Well, Pastor, hurry up and tell me how do I get this proper relationship with God? Well, first it starts through his son, Christ Jesus. That's why Jesus died on the cross. And then God raised him from the dead so that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And it's when your faith in God's plan for salvation, when you put your faith in God's plan of salvation, which is Jesus, it's at that point when God becomes your Father. Yes, yes, yes. In verse 1, it says God. But in the Hebrew in which the original language is written in, it's called Elohim, made, name of God. Elohim was translated to God. But if you're not careful, you'll miss out on what the writer was trying to convey to you. Because the Hebrew people, they understood that God expresses himself in many ways. God has a multitude of names because he has a multiplicity of ways. And based on the way God moved, his people would give him a name. One of God's names is Yahweh. That's the God we enter into covenant relationship. Another name is Jehovah, which means the God who can make and keep promises. Another name is El Shaddai, which is the Lord God Almighty. So if somebody went through something and God pulled them out of it, they came up with a name based on what God had pulled them out of. You see, and then God has some compound names. Jehovah Jireh, meaning the God who provides. Jehovah Rapha, the God that heals. Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. Jehovah Shammah, the God that is there. You see, all I'm doing is trying to get you to know that God's name, so you, if you know God's name, you'll learn what God is up to. Amen. My grandparents, they did the same thing. When they would have an experience with God, they would give a new name to God. If they got sick and God healed them, they would say, God is a doctor who never lost a patient. If they got in trouble and had to go to court and they got out, they would say, God is a lawyer who never lost a case. And if they were hungry and didn't know where their next meal was coming from and God provided something to eat, they would say, God is bread in a starving land. Then if they went through a dry period in their life and God shows up with the refreshing water of the Holy Ghost, they would say, God is water in their places. And if they went through trouble and God made a way for them. They would say, God is a bridge over trouble. And you still may not get this. So just do as the scholars advise us to. Just say, God is just the great I am. Remember, when God introduced himself to Moses at the burning bush, it was Moses' first time meeting God. And God told Moses to go back down to Egypt and tell them to let my people go. Then Moses said, I can't do that without telling them a name. What's your name? And God said, just tell them to let my people go. And Moses just broke it down. He said, in Egypt, all of their gods have names, so I need to tell them your name. And God said, tell them this, that I am sent you. Tell them that this is an expression of what God is based on by what he's going to do. Tell them that whatever they need me to be, I am that I am will do. So if you need food, I am that. If you need water, I am that. If you need a way out of no way, I am that. If you need healing, I am that. If you need direction, I am that. So in the text, the name for God is Elohim, which means the creator God. He's the one who creates and makes a way. For in Genesis, we're told that God, Elohim, created the heavens and the earth. So when we get to Psalm 46, verse 1, that last word in verse 1 is trust. And that matches what we're experiencing today. It's talking about trouble, and we're in trouble today. But Elohim, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in the time of trouble. Elohim, the God who creates. Well, Pastor, why is that important? It's important because the word trouble means being distressed, to be in a tight or a jam. It means to be between a rock and a hard place. Trouble means that you found yourself in a situation that you can't get yourself out of. So when you find yourself in trouble that you can't get out of, if you start with Elohim, God will create a way out of no way. You see, God has a way of coming into your situation. Now, with God, it only takes a word. He straightens out your situation by only speaking a word. And it's 46 number of the Psalm, that verse 1, those first two words are all you need to face whatever you are going through. The Psalm tells us God is. And a God is will allow you to get out of any situation you find yourself in. As a matter of fact, a God is can get you through anything. It's enough to help you face everything that you have to face in your life. So if you're wondering who's going to make a way out of no way, God is. If you want to know who's going to protect you from the virus, God is. If you want to know who's going to help you while you're out of work, God is. If you catch the virus, who's going to heal you? God is. Who's going to be with me in the midnight hour? God is. Who's going to wipe the tears away from my eyes? God is. Who's going to lift me above what I am going through? God is. God is our refuge. He's our hiding place. He's our shelter. He's our stronghold. He's our safe haven. He's our sanctuary. And you have to be careful who you turn to when trouble comes. Because if you find yourself in a tight or a jam, you have to be careful where you go to get help. Because we've had experience that when trouble has come, we make the mistake and turn to the wrong person. I know I've got some witnesses that you went someplace to get help, and that help took more from you than they gave to you. And if you want God to show up in your situation, I dare you to call his name, and he'll show up in your situation. The Lord is with us. For Psalm 73 tells us that my feet were almost gone, my steps had well nigh slipped because I was looking at the prosperity of the wicked. Then the psalmist tells us I was looking at how the wicked seemed to prosper and how the godly had to struggle. And I got so confused that I lost my spiritual equilibrium. I almost quit. I almost gave up until I went into the sanctuary of God. Let me let you in on a secret. There's something that you can only get from God's house. I know we've got commercials with glorious and expensive advertising, but claiming that they've got what you need. But let me tell you, the church has what you need. And when you come to the church, when you trust in the church, when you support the church will meet your need. You see, the God we serve, he's our shield. He's our shield and buckler. Another translation says that God is our sword and shield. And they use these illustrations because they were thinking about soul, health, breastplates, feet, boots. But soldiers in the Bible, they also carried shields. These shields were big and oblong. So when the psalmist mentions God is a shield, he's referring to how big God is. You see, the shields were so big that when the soldier went into battle and the enemy began to shoot his dart at the soldier didn't have to worry, because all he had to do was get behind his shield. The shield was so big back in that day that the soldier could place his whole body behind the shield. And no matter what the attack was, as long as the soldier is placed behind the shield, he could overcome whatever the enemy threw his way. God is our shield. He's so big that you can put your whole life, your career, your money, your job, family, health, and mentality behind God's shield. God is our shield, and our shield is invincible and invisible. When I'm behind God's shield, that shield is invisible and invisible. Because life at times will take so much out of trying to get ends to meet. Holding on to your job, keeping your family intact. Then if you throw in sickness disease. Aging parents had a deadly pandemic. That will take a lot out of for somebody you don't have the same vigor and vitality that you used to have. Why? It's because life has taken so much out of you. But God is our strength. So even when you're weak, He is strong. You're not making it off of your own strength, but off the strength of God, because He's the one that sustains you. As a matter of fact, when you find yourself at your worst, that's when God is at His best. God can take your weak and add His strength to it. And then you and God can overcome any situation that you may have. Not only is God our strength, but He's also our keeper. And the only reason that I'm preaching now is because the Lord has kept me. And some of us, if it had not been for God, we would have lost our mind. But God is a keeper. And all through Scripture, it speaks of God being a keeper. For Paul tells us, I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have entrusted unto Him until that day. Then we can walk that over to the Old Testament and hear that God has given His angels charge over you to keep you. And then the psalmist also says, He that keepeth Israel neither slumbers or sleeps. Then we go back over to the New Testament and we're told that God will keep your heart and mind as long as it's stayed on Jesus. You see, when your mind is stayed on Jesus, God begins to guard your heart and mind from things that would try to come and take your heart and mind. God steps in and says, no one will be able to get this one because I'm keeping that. Then Grandmama chimes in. And she says, all day and all night, angels are keeping watch over you. God is a keeper. He's a sustainer, and He's the one who holds on to us no matter what we're going through. But the problem is, we have too many people that we're depending on beside God to see us through. See, when you get in trouble, if you're not careful, you'll go to anybody for help. And sometimes we depend on people we have no business depending on. There was somebody that you put more confidence in, had more faith in than you should have. Far too often, we're depending on others to do what God wants to do for you. For the steps of a good person are ordered by God. But sometimes we get off track thinking that we can do it without God. And then God steps back and says, oh, you think you can do it without me? And that's when we mess things up. And then we call on God. And I'm so glad that God has so much grace and mercy that when you messed it up, He'll step in and still give you another chance. For the biggest problem we make is depending on the wrong person. But when you become a child of God, it doesn't mean that it won't get dark all around you or Things won't be difficult for you. But when others around you have lost their way, God will see you through. God is our holding place, the holder of our help. He's a very present help in the time of trouble. When no one else can help, God is able. There are times when people want to help. They try to help, but they still can't help. There are others who say, as soon as I come out of this, I'll help you. But according to the word of God, help is not on its way. Help is already here. Jesus is a very present help in the time of trouble. And a lot of times when we're related to God, we keep talking in future tense. But God, when he talks to us, he speaks in present tense. We keep saying, well, next week, I'm going to get myself together. Next month, I'm going to do right. Next year, I'm going to be more committed. But next time, God can tell me future. But the God we serve, he speaks to us, praise God, in the present tense. Listen, the keys. Come down today, for I will be eating at your house. Today, salvation will come to your house. Not next week, but today. The day you hear God's voice, harden not your heart. Choose you this day, not in the future, today. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help. He's right now, presently, waiting to help you. Stop running around thinking how you're going to make it and who's going to see you through. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. God is with you. So if you want to know the truth about God, it occurs when you get in the word of God and allow that word to speak to your spirit. God is a present help. I'm getting ready to close now. But no matter what you're going through, I want to leave this with you. God is with us. And he has a long history of rescuing his own. He's a God that gets involved, intervenes, and intercedes. He's a very present help who doesn't just sit back and watch you struggle. But he's a God that will get in the struggle with you. You and God can get out of any situation. For the kind of God that we serve is the one that if you're at the Red Sea and you've got mountains on both sides of you and a sea in front of you and enemies behind you, if you trust in God, God will get involved and make a way for you in the very thing that your enemies will get stuck in. Oh, yes, he will. He's the God, the kind of God that if you find yourself on Mount Carmel battling with 450 prophets of Baal, God doesn't sit back and let you handle it all on your own. No, no. He'll tell you to reconstruct your altar, and if you call on his name, God will send down fire from on high and help you overcome overwhelming odds. He's the kind of God that if you find yourself in a heated situation, he'll see you through. If you don't believe me, let's talk to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego for a while. They found themselves in a heated situation that was heated seven times hotter than it normally was. And God didn't just sit back and allow them to go through that situation all by themselves, but God steps into the fire with them and makes sure that they come out of it intact. You see, God is the kind of God that if you have to feed a whole lot of people, but all you've got are two little fish and five loaves of bread, God was able. He's able to take what you have and put it in his hands and multiply it so it will meet the need that you are going through. And then after you fed everybody you needed to feed, God will provide leftovers so that you can make it tomorrow. Can I get a witness? He's the kind of God that if you get sick and call on his name, he will heal you. Where can I go where there's no place for me to turn? Well, who can I talk to when there's no one around me? I can go to the rock because I know that the rock is able. The rock of my salvation, the rock the builders rejected. When all earth around me